ISKCON founder, Acharya Shilpa Ki Jai.
Dakoti Vaishnavindu Ki Jai.
Namacharya Shilpa Das Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Shikho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasa Vibhura Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopinashan Kunja Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. Turi Dham Ki Jai. That would read Mayapur Dham Ki Jai. Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai. Gangamai Jumuna Devi Ki Jai. Bhakti Devi Ki Jai. Tulsi Maharaja Ki Jai. Samaveda Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai. Gaur Premanand Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Sri Prabhupada. So it's January 9th, 2013 in Bahrain. And we're going to be looking tonight at balancing our material and spiritual life. What do you say? Would you like to do that? So here we're looking, this is from a purport, where Srila Prabhupada says that for those of us who are conditioned, we have two kinds of activities, conditional activities and constitutional. So conditional, and Prabhupada says here, it's even for the devotees. Right? Something, the rules of the government, taking care of the body. And also, then, there's constitutional activities, devotional service, our hearing, chanting, remembering, serving the deity, and so forth. And continuing in the same purport, Prabhupada says that sometimes these are parallel and sometimes they are opposed. So ideally, we'd like a situation where the activities that we have to perform in relationship to our own body, our families, our country, our society, and the activities we perform directly in devotional service, that they're in harmony with one another, that they parallel one another. But that doesn't always happen. Sometimes it seems that they're fighting with one another. Yes? Yes, okay. So tonight we're going to look at four different areas of conflict or difficulty between our conditional and constitutional activities. The first we're going to look at is that it may seem difficult to remember Krishna. Now, many times people say, well, the only way I can remember Krishna is I have to give up all my material activities. I have to go sit in Vrindavan and just chant all day. If I'm taking care of my family, I'm working at a job, how can I remember Krishna? So that's the first problem we're going to look at. How can I think of Krishna? The second problem we're going to look at is thinking, well, this material side of my life, I'm just supposed to be renounced and detached about that. And that ending up as neglect. That we end up not taking proper care of that side of our life. The next problem we're going to look at is pressures in our life to do things that are against devotional service. And the last thing we're going to look at is scheduling and prioritizing and time management. Then we may think, well, my life is just material. Everything's material. Where is Krishna? How can I find Krishna in what I'm doing? It's all matter. We see this sort of divide. You know, that here is matter and here is spirit. And how can I find spirit everywhere? Then in the area of seeing seeing our life as service. So we're going to look at four basic problems. The first is thinking, well, if I'm renounced and I'm detached, that means I become very hard-hearted. I cut off my natural feelings. Or one can think being renounced and detached means I'm very irresponsible. I just don't take care of things. We can then end up neglecting our own emotional needs, our family members' emotional needs, social needs, physical. And eventually, those things may come back and reassert themselves. You know, one will say, okay, it's all material, taking care of my body, I won't get enough sleep, I won't eat properly, and at a certain point your health breaks down, or your family starts breaking down. So then, in pressures for things, so we may get pressure from coworkers. Oh, why don't you come do this sinful thing with me? Why don't you eat this thing? Why don't you go here? Maybe from non-devotee family members, maybe from other people at school, or maybe from ourselves. So maybe before coming to Krishna consciousness, we had some bad habits, and maybe it's our own mind telling us, you know, drink some coffee, watch this thing, or whatever. For the Middle East, because we start off with late nights. And whenever I come to the Middle East, I know my whole schedule gets turned upside down. So, with this problem, we look at staying up late at night and then having to get up early in the morning to go to work, having so many demands from home, from children, from family. Or wasting time, right? Spending so much time with materialistic entertainment, and then there's little time left to have good japa and good worship or good study. Okay? And our life may feel like this. That's a real sign, by the way. Look at some solutions. So first, in the area of transcendental absorption. Probably make that sound a little, if you can turn down that just a little bit. So this is a very important verse. Brahmarpanam Brahmahavir Brahmagno Brahmana Hutam Brahmaiva Tena Gantavyam Brahma Karma Samadhina. When we're actually absorbed in Krishna consciousness, then everything becomes absolute. Ourselves, what we're doing, the result. In one sense, this is the main answer to the problem of how do you balance material and spiritual life. And this answer is stop having a material life. How? By absorbing your consciousness totally in Krishna. And when one does that, everything, as Prabhupada writes, becomes merged into transcendence. So this is from the purport. It's a little long, but it's worth really meditating on this purport. That matter dovetailed for the cause of the absolute truth regains its spiritual quality. What this means is that matter already has a spiritual quality. From Krishna's perspective, there is not really such a thing as matter and spirit. Srila Prabhupada often gives the example that for the government, the prison is simply another governmental department. There's the education department and there's the prison department. From Krishna's perspective, everything is his spiritual energy. It's a matter of our seeing it that way. Now please listen carefully to this. Krishna consciousness is the process of converting the illusory consciousness into Brahman or the Supreme. What are we converting? Our what? Our consciousness. And Prabhupada goes on to say, when the mind is fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, it's said to be in samadhi or trance. Anything done in such transcendental consciousness is called yajna or sacrifice for the absolute. So it's a question of changing your mind. It's not just a question of doing different things, moving your body to a different place and doing different things. It's a question of changing one's attitude, one's consciousness. In the 14th chapter of Krishna book, Srila Prabhupada says in the prayers of Lord Brahma, Maya exists only within the mind. In Krishna book also, in the prayers of the demigods, in chapter 2, Srila Prabhupada writes that for the materialists, they see the world as a very aggressive place. Here are friends, here are enemies. He says, but for one who's in Krishna consciousness, everything appears to be happily situated. Why? Because the Krishna conscious person has a different consciousness. They see that everywhere is Krishna. They actually perceive everything as spiritual. Anything done in such transcendental consciousness is called yajna or sacrifice for the absolute. Anything. That means your ordinary work, you're working at the hospital, you're working at the bank, it becomes sacrifice. If done in consciousness of Krishna. That was what Krishna told Arjuna about fighting, that his fighting became a yajna. And everything we do, anything we do, if in the proper consciousness, becomes like that. In that condition of spiritual consciousness, the contributor, that's us, the contribution, what we're doing, the consumption, which is the result, the performer or leader, the result, everything becomes one in the absolute, the supreme Brahman. So you might say, well, samadhi, trance, so I have to just walk around like this with my eyes closed. How will I drive my car? It sounds like if we're always going to have our mind in transcendental consciousness, and Prabhupada said in the last purport, that means samadhi or trance. You won't do anything. Like we read about Shamakarishi, who was in samadhi by mystic yoga. And when Maharaj Bricket came to ask him for water, Shamakarishi couldn't hear or see anything because he was in trance. Because according to the Astanga Yoga system, before a samadhi, there's pratyahara. Pratyahara means you withdraw your senses from the external sense objects. You don't hear or see or feel anything in the world anymore. And you're entering into turiya, the fourth state of existence, beyond wakefulness, dreaming, and deep sleep. So, how are we saying this is going to balance your material and spiritual life? If the way you see everything spiritually is to be in samadhi. And that's answered in this purport in 12.2. Where Srila Prabhupada is saying, you're doing so many things. You're going to the market. But you're in samadhi. How do you go to the market in samadhi? How do you drive your car in samadhi? Hey, imagine somebody in a trance driving their car. What's Prabhupada talking about here? You know, we in bhakti yoga, we are not interested in the mechanical samadhi of the Astanga yoga system. We're interested in a different kind of samadhi. which I'm sure everyone here has experienced on some level. That is the samadhi of love. When you're in love with somebody, you're absorbed in thoughts of them. So if any of us have been in love, you know, girl with boy, boy with girl, or when you first have a little baby and you're in love with your baby, or even maybe you're in love with your new car or your new computer or something. And if you're in love with something, what do? You're always thinking about it. And you may not even notice anything else. We have experiences, yes? Now, you can still go to work, and you can still go to school, and you can still drive your car, but your consciousness is absorbed in what you love. Maya Shaktam Anaparta, think of me always with attachment. And Prabhupada, in commenting on this verse, Bhagavad Gita 7.1 in Sanan, India, he said, we all know what attachment is. We've all experienced this. It's simply turning it to Krishna. We in Bhakti Yoga, we're looking for the natural samadhi that comes when you love someone. Now, when you love Krishna, that samadhi brings you above all material distress. If you just love some ordinary boy or girl or computer or something in this world, that doesn't bring you above material distress. But when you're attached to Krishna, it does. But it's the same kind of thing. So therefore, whatever you're doing, you're thinking of Krishna. There's another just wonderful quote. A man working in Krishna consciousness in a factory does not associate himself with the work of the factory, nor with the workers of the factory. He simply works for Krishna. And when he gives up the result from Krishna, he's acting transcendentally. And elsewhere, Prabhupada said that such a person is the real sannyasi. Real sannyas means that I'm no longer working to try to enjoy my work directly. I'm offering everything to Krishna. Now, the way one does this, we're going to contrast the way one does this with the ordinary fruitive mentality. So generally, when we're doing something, we're doing it for some fruit. We're doing it for some goal or some result, correct? So we may or may not enjoy the actual work, but we're thinking, I'll enjoy the result of my work. Like you plant a seed in the ground, you may not enjoy planting the seed, you may not enjoy watering the tree, but you're thinking, I will get the mango. So that means you're working, and your enjoyment is future. So just imagine in your life, right? Work, enjoyment. Work, enjoyment. Work, enjoyment. Work, enjoyment. And do you always enjoy the fruit? No. Sometimes you don't enjoy the fruit. Sometimes you go to pick the mango and it's rotten. Some worm is in it. Or sometimes some bird comes and eats the mango, you don't get it. Or there was no rain, there's no mango. So it can be work, fruit. Work, disappointment. Right? So fruitive worker means that basically you're suffering and every once in a while, maybe, you get some pleasure, right? A little over here, maybe. Maybe you don't get it. So then the whole time you're working in fear. What if I don't get the fruit? Maybe I won't get it. Maybe somebody will steal it. Maybe it won't be any good. Maybe I won't like it. So all the time you're working, you're in anxiety. And then you get that fruit you enjoy it for a little bit. Maybe. Maybe it's not there. And then you think to the next one. And then anyone who interferes with our result, we get angry. We have our plan. This is how I'm going to enjoy it right there. I see it right there. You're in my way. If you analyze, you will see that most of our fear, our anger, our discord is because we think someone's going to interfere with my fruit. So instead, to get to this transcendental samadhi where everything is spiritual, right now. You say, I'm going to offer this moment to Krishna now. Now, this is something you don't have to wait till after this class to practice, because now is now, now. So I think I'm going to offer this to Krishna now. I'm going to offer what I'm doing to Krishna now. I'm going to offer what I'm doing to Krishna now. Krishna, this is for you now. 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 I'm connected with you now. Now, my dear friends, when you do this, guess what? Nobody can take it away from you. First of all, instead of having fear, 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 anxiety, anxiety, a little pleasure, maybe. Fear, 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 oh, disappointment. Fear, 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 anxiety, working hard, little, you'll have bliss, 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 bliss. Prabhupada says, Krishna consciousness means working with a thrill, not at one time, but at every moment. And this is not something just for some advanced devotee someday. That's also future thinking. That's a very similar mentality. Well, I'm going to suffer in Krishna consciousness, and when I become advanced, then I'll enjoy. But you can start offering your moment to Krishna now, right now, this minute. Krishna, right now, sitting in this class, I'm offering to you. Are you happy with me? And the next moment, Krishna, and not even day, moment. See Krishna in every moment. Now, if you're working for some result, you can offer that mentally at every moment. Let's say you're cooking something, it's not yet finished. And you can be meditating while you're cutting the vegetable, while you're cooking, that Krishna is going to be eating this and he will like it. And do you all know that a mental offering is also accepted? You all know that? Do you know the story of the Brahmin who made the mental offering? Yes? See, he was poor, and he was meditating that I'm going to the Ganga, I'm collecting water in a golden pot, and I'm bathing Krishna, and I'm dressing him, and I'm cooking for him. And he did that every day for many years. And then one day he went to test the sweet rice and said, cool enough. And in his meditation, his finger burnt. And he, meditation broke, he saw his fingers actually burnt. And in Vaikuntha, Lord Narayan's laughing. Lakshmi says, why are you laughing? And he didn't answer. And he sent his chariot to Vimana to bring this Brahmin back to Godhead. So service offered in the mind, that doesn't mean you shouldn't actually do service with the body. It doesn't mean just sit in your house and meditate on service. You can do service also with the body. But while you are doing something, you can meditate, I'm offering this to Krishna, even though it's not finished. And who knows, it may never be finished. Maybe you'll die while you're cooking. So many things can happen, right? Then you will enter into samadhi. Now, one can also see Krishna everywhere. So Krishna says, I am the light of the sun. Actually, even our electric light is coming from the light of the sun. How do they make electricity here? What do they do? Huh? Gas. So gas is coming from the earth, right? So is it from some plants? Does it come originally from plants, the gas? Yes? Fossil fuel. So fossil fuel means from plants. Where is the plants getting their energy from? From the sun. Even hydroelectric power, the sun is evaporating the water. It's coming down as rain. So all the light we have, whenever we see light, we think, that is Krishna, there is Krishna. Prabhupada, sometimes when he was asked, have you seen Krishna? He would say, yes, everybody's seen Krishna. Don't you see the light of the sun? So we meditate on that. The light in your office, the light in your home, the light outside, there's Krishna. The light of the moon, there's Krishna. The heat in fire. So here it gets very hot. That heat, that's Krishna. Even the heat in our bodies, the warmth in our bodies, any heat, that is Krishna. And you can meditate on how it's Krishna. He says, the flower-bearing spring. And you see flowers. Oh, there's Krishna. the ability in men. So we may not have this devotee's ability, but whatever ability we have, our ability in mathematics, our ability in driving, our ability to sit up without falling over, our ability to think, that is Krishna. To take the time to meditate on it. Krishna says he's the wind. When you feel the wind, that is Krishna. He says he's the taste of water. Anything we're tasting, that is Krishna. Prabhupada said even the drunkard, if he's thinking drinking his liquor, this is Krishna. Eventually he'll become a saintly person. He said that. But to take the time, it only takes a moment, just, my ability is Krishna, my intelligence is Krishna. So Krishna gives in the Bhagavad Gita 4 chapters how you can see him in this world. Anyone know which chapters those are?
7?
10? Someone else? 7? 10? 2 more? 15, yes. 15. 1 more. 11. No.
9.
7, 9, 10, and 15. And each of those chapters, Krishna says, I am this, I am this. I am the sound in ether. Among great things, I am this. I am your memory. So you can take, once a week, take one verse and think, I'm going to meditate this week on how Krishna's the light of the sun. I'm going to meditate this week on how Krishna's the fire of digestion. Whenever I'm eating, I'm going to think, it's Krishna digesting my food. And of course, we can also meditate on Krishna's name. And this can be done not only when we're chanting japa, not only in kirtan, it can be done in the mind. When you're walking, with each step, you can think, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Hare. When you're driving, you're doing so many things. Have Krishna's name go. There's one devotee I know who told me that every morning when he gets up, he picks a tune for the Hare Krishna mantra, and he starts singing that tune in his mind, and that's his tune for the day. That's his melody for the day. And all during the day, he will think of that melody. And then the next morning, he'll pick another one. And one can have, therefore, Krishna's name going through one's mind in whatever one does. And then Krishna's form. So one can meditate on Krishna's form. It's like we have the deity. And many of you have deities in your home, or you have pictures in your home. So you can choose the deity here, or if you have some deities other places that you find have some attachment to, or some painting you really like, and you just really study that form. And again, during the day, just like an ordinary person, they have on their desk a picture of their wife or their children. They're meditating on that. So you can think, how does Krishna look in this form? Then Krishna's qualities. So here we see Krishna saving Draupadi. Krishna is described as very grateful that Draupadi just calls his name, Hey Krishna, hey Govinda! And he's so grateful that he comes and supplies her with unlimited saris. That Krishna is dependable. When Ujjava says, Save my child, he comes in the womb and saves Parikshit. How charming Krishna is, how his form is soft like butter, sparkling like jewels. Actually, even meditating on Krishna in the world as the light of the sun or the heat and fire, we can also be reminded of Krishna's qualities, how much Krishna is caring, how much Krishna likes variety, how much Krishna likes beauty. It's actually quite easy to think about Krishna's qualities in the course of a day. And of course, Krishna's pastimes. How Krishna, the supreme free, the ultimate free, where one meditates upon him and one gets total freedom, is bound to the grinding board. Krishna, of whom fear is afraid his mother. Or Krishna the supreme dancer, dancing on the moving, shifting, slippery, wet heads of the 1,000 hooded snake. All right, so that's being transcendentally absorbed no matter what we're doing. Now we're going to go to the next area, seeing our life as service. So again, this is the concept that we sometimes have where we say, okay, well, this is the material side of my life, and this is the spiritual side, and if I'm really spiritually advanced, I'm going to neglect the material side of my life. So our little icon there, we have a broken down house turning into having your house as a temple. So here Prabhupada's saying that until our heart's purified, we do have these conditional activities. However, if we do action in Krishna consciousness, that's superior to renunciation. And we see for most people, we need to do activities in the world. We can't just say, okay, I'm going to go to the Himalayas and live in a cave. That's very dangerous. One's likely to fall from such a position. So the first thing to think about our normal activities is, I need to do these. I actually need to have some activities in the world to keep me engaged in Krishna's service. I'm not able to just say, all right, I'm going to do nothing but chant all day. And what is the mentality to have? This is nicely exemplified by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in this song, where he says, O Lord, nothing further remains that may be called mine, declaring that my wealth, family members, home, and wife are truly yours. I continue as a mere servant to dutifully protect them. For the purpose of your service, I will earn money and bear the expense of maintaining your household. So one way to deal with this idea that, well, this is all material. See, no, this is my service to Krishna. Actually, it's Krishna asking me to take care of my wife, to take care of my husband, to take care of my children, to take care of my parents. This, I'm doing this to please Krishna, who is the real boss and real owner. Krishna, he's the proprietor. So a very easy way you can think is that Krishna's my company president. He runs the whole universe, right? He's the chairman of the board of the universe. And I work for his company. And what is his product?
Love.
Love! Isn't that a nice company to work for? Who do you work for? I work for God. Oh, what do you sell? Love. Pretty nice, huh? And you get paid in love too, isn't that nice? You get paid in loving ecstasy. Of course, you also get taken care of. We might think the person who's taking care of me is the bank I work for, or the hospital I work for, the software designing company I work for. That's not true. Guess who's actually taking care of you? Krishna. You know that, right? The bank you work for, can they go bankrupt and not take care of you anymore? Do they really have the power to take care of you? Or the ladies, you might think, oh, my husband is taking care of me. Lord Kapiladev says, if you think like that, then your husband is like the hunter who kills the deer. If you think, oh, my husband, he's the source of my money, my children, my home. No, who's the source? Krishna. So you think, I'm working for Krishna's company. My business is selling love of God. He's maintaining me. He's given me this house. And then all the other people in your life, you know who they are? All the people you're dealing with in your life. They're either your co-workers, or they're your suppliers, or they're your customers, or potential customers. And then you deal with everyone like that. Krishna's my company president, my wife, she's my customer or my co-worker. My children, they're my customers, maybe they're my suppliers even, if they're very advanced. And then you'll not be disturbed, my dear friends. If you think like this, you will not be disturbed by people in this world. Then you'll always think, what can I do to please Krishna? What can I do to please Krishna? How will my company president, how will he smile at me for what I'm doing? And Mahaprabhu told the devotees, he said, I need you to do this. I need some persons to live a life of external renunciation, but I also need some people to take care of things in the world. After all, it's Krishna's world. The whole world belongs to Krishna. He actually wants this service to be done. And therefore, Mahaprabhu is saying, whether you're seemingly engaged in material activities or renounced, still, you're there as my servants, Mahaprabhu is saying. Same concept. We're working for Krishna no matter what we're doing. And we're not going to read all of this, but this is in the purport, where Prabhupada's quoting Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati is saying that whether you take sannyas or whether you're dealing in money, that's both external. One should think how to please and satisfy Krishna, and then one will never become attached. I'm Krishna's servant. Krishna is the master. Then you're liberated in any condition. Now, how does this work psychologically? Just like I was saying, we work for the fruit. We work for the fruit. Do you know what the fruit we often work for is? We often work for thinking, I'm trying to please this other person in my life independent of Krishna. We think the reason I'm working is so my employer at the bank will be happy, or I'm working so my husband will be happy, or so my children will be happy, or my mommy will be happy. Can you always make somebody happy in this world? Is it possible? You can give your whole life. And will everybody be happy with you? Will they even see what you've done? Will they even notice? You can, right? You have this experience? Not just me, right? You can be working for a month, a year, 5 years, sacrificing your blood. And the people you're trying to please, they don't even notice. They don't even notice. They don't even know what you've done, or to speak of being pleased with you. And what pleases people one day may not please them the next day. Right? One day your wife may say, oh, you're such a wonderful husband, I'm so happy I married you. The next day she says, I don't know why I married you. And you didn't do anything different. It's always like that. But not because if we get disturbed by this, it means we have the wrong master. It means we're thinking, I'm here to please my wife, I'm here to please my husband, I'm here to please the bank manager. No, I'm here to please Krishna. Now, of course, Krishna wants you to treat your wife nicely. Krishna wants you to treat your husband nicely. Krishna wants you to treat the bank manager nicely. Why? Because they're a customer, a co-worker, or a supplier in his business. But the person paying your salary is Krishna. If you act like that, other people will not be able to disturb you. You will not disturb others, they will not disturb you. You'll be above material happiness and distress and transcendental joy. And you will do your duties nicer than the materialists. That's one of my favorite quotes, this letter to Jayapataka Maharaj. The Prabhupada says the secret of surrendering to Krishna is that such surrendered devotees see that everything is part of Krishna's plan. Whatever is meant to be, I am doing. Whatever is meant to be, I am doing. Let me do it with my full attention to every detail. Let me become absorbed in such service. Never mind what it is. Let all considerations be forgotten and only my desire to do the best for Krishna's alone pleasure is my motive. So I'm thinking, Krishna's looking at me. Is Krishna looking at you? Is he here?
Yes.
Is he in our heart?
Yes.
Is he watching?
Yes.
Is he listening?
Yes.
Is he smiling? That's the question. When he's watching, when he's listening, is he smiling?
Yes.
That's what we're asking. How I'm talking to my wife. My wife may smile, she may not smile. Who do we want to smile?
Krishna.
Krishna. I'm trying to please my husband. I'm making, cooking exactly what he likes. You know, he may not like it. Correct? On Tuesday he liked it, you make it again on Wednesday and he doesn't like it. But that's not what you're looking for. You're looking at Krishna smiling. And Krishna's alone pleasure. And so one does it better, because when you're working just for the bank president or the government or your family member, you can't always do it with great. You can't. You're thinking, oh, why bother? They're not even going to notice. And sometimes you get discouraged. But if you're working for Krishna's pleasure, then you can give full attention to every detail, no matter what you're doing. I'm doing this for Krishna. Little thing, big thing, doesn't matter. Whether everyone praises you or everybody criticizes you, as long as Krishna's smiling, it doesn't matter. This way, the devotee is more responsible than the materialist, because they're getting that reciprocation from within. All right, next one is living a pure life. So this is pressure again, pressure from co-workers or family members or other students or ourselves to do sinful things. So we have to get a real taste of Krishna consciousness. Here you see a picture of the five rasas with Krishna and their perversions in this world. We have to be enjoying Krishna consciousness from within. Recently, one devotee was saying to me, am I allowed to enjoy my chanting? Yes, the answer is. Prabhupada wrote one letter, he said, unless you're joyful, you cannot be making advancement. We should be relishing Krishna consciousness, not be doing it mechanically. And this is a lovely quote in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, where Prabhupada says there's three kinds of duties: routine, emergency, and desired. Don't live in an emergency always situation. Our routine work should be work that's according to our nature. If your regular work is making you miserable, you need to get some routine work that's according to our nature. Desired activities means like hobbies. One should have some Krishna conscious hobbies. So here's a picture of a little girl thinking of all the things she wants to do for Krishna. So what would you like to do for Krishna? It can be, you know, growing some flowers in your backyard, or writing poetry, or learning some songs. But spend some time doing things for Krishna that you really like to do. And then the sixth chapter, Krishna says that the yogi is regulated in eating, sleeping, work, and recreation. Recreation means recreation. We need recreation. Have your recreation connected with Krishna. Krishna conscious songs, Krishna conscious movies. Get together with other devotees for some Krishna conscious fun. You know, we're Anandamaya Vyasat, we're pleasure-seeking beings. If you don't have Krishna conscious fun, then you want to have some material fun. Have a life that's full of devotee association. Otherwise, you know, we're social beings, we'll associate with non-devotees, and then we'll do what they do. And if people really pressure you to do sinful things, you can make up some excuse. And then choose a way of earning a living that does not involve sinful activities. We don't want to be selling alcohol or, you know, gambling tickets. So I remember talking to one devotee who was involved in a very sinful occupation and told me, well, if I quit this job, how will I get money? So this is from the story of the hunter Magrari, where Narada said, I will take care of you if you throw away your bow. And he said, if I throw away my bow, how will I live? And Prabhupada says, so the source of our income is not actually the source of our maintenance. We're being maintained by Krishna. And our so-called source of income is our own choice only. So there's no reason to do something sinful just thinking this is how I have to live. Okay, our last one is priorities and time management. So Prabhupada says, when you're a human being, which is whoever saw Dave, don't work, our life is not meant for working hard day and night just to get the basic facility of the animals. Just to have a home and food. Working, 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 working. Prabhupada says one should work 8 hours at the most. In order to do that, one has to have faith that Krishna will provide. One also has to have some faith that whatever standard of living I'm meant to enjoy, I will enjoy. One devotee recently wrote me an email. I'm working at a job in which I am constantly experiencing acute distress. But I'm afraid if I don't have this job, I'll be poor. I said, what is the use of having money if all day long you're in acute distress? Wouldn't you rather be happy and poor? To have some faith that whatever I'm going to enjoy, I'm going to enjoy. Making more and more and more and more money with less and less and less time even to enjoy the money. You know, some people, they're working 60, 70, 80 hours a week. They don't even, they have a beautiful house, all they do in it is sleep. They could be sleeping on the street, they wouldn't even know the difference. And organizing one's time. Prabhupada said when he was a householder, he would chant 16 rounds in 4 different times of the day. We may not be able to have the kind of schedule like the brahmachari in the ashram who gets up at 3 and just sits down and chants all 16 rounds at once, especially mothers who have little children. Right? You can't just do that. So you work out a program of your sadhana that works with your own life and your own situation. Now, I'm sure you've seen this before, and I always wish when I present this that I could bring it with me. But if you have a container and you have big rocks, little rocks, sand and water, and you want to put it in the container, if you put the water in first, will you be able to put in anything else? No. Suppose you put the sand in, then what can you put in? Only the water. If you put the small rocks in first, then you can only put in the small rocks, the sand and the water. If you put the big rocks in first, you can put in everything. You know, we often think, I have so many important things to do. But do we really? Today, Kanapriya is telling me how she works for the YPO, the Young Presidents Association here in Marin. So I was telling her, oh, my father was a member of the YPO. In fact, I think he was even the president of it at one point. And then later he went on to the next level when he got older. So I was trying, my father was a very famous man. When he died, there was a long obituary about him in the New York Times. But I was looking on the internet trying to find information about my father and his association with the YPO, and I couldn't find it. It was very interesting. I found obituaries, but I couldn't find anywhere that really listed everything my father did in his life. And you know, the devotee who was introducing me and listing these things, you know, they're not going to be remembered. So I may have asked you this question here before, but how many of you know the names of your great-great-grandfather? Who here knows the names of your great-great-grandparents? One person. I've asked thousands and thousands of people. Maybe out of, 6,000-7,000 people, 5 will say, yes, I know the names of my great-great-grandparents. That means our great-great-grandchildren will not know our names. So now I have now 11 grandchildren. That means the grandchildren of my grandchildren will not know my name. When to speak of what I did, who I was. But what we have to do is so important. I have to do this, I have to do that. How can I have time to chant? How can I have time to read Bhagavatam? I have to do this and this. Who will care? When we die, our whole life is going to be put into one paragraph. Everything we did for those 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years will become one paragraph in the newspaper. If you're really important in ISKCON, you'll get 3 paragraphs in Back to Godhead. And if you're really, really important, you'll get a whole feature article, 2,500 words, for your whole life. Big, big people, they just get their name listed in the Bhagavatam. You've read that sections of the genealogy, just the name. And when we read those verses in the morning, we don't even talk about them. Some listed names. Try an experiment. Go to someone who loves you and cares about you. Try this tomorrow. My dear friend, my dear family member, would you please sit down for 2 hours? I want to tell you every single thing I did yesterday. Try it. We think, this is so important. This is so important. I don't have time to chant. I don't have time to read the Shastra. I don't have time to think about Krishna because I have so many important things to do. But what we do for Krishna, that remains eternally. That's real. That we will remember, and Krishna will remember, and it always stays. Why not put our energy first to that? Put Krishna first. Everything else will be forgotten. Very fast. As far as doing your priorities for your spiritual life, find flexible solutions that work for you. If you don't have time to physically read a book, get the books on audio tape. Listen to them in the car. Listen to them while you're cooking. Don't take other people's solutions. If someone else says, the way I get my rounds done is like this, you have to do it this way. Find something that works for you and who you are. And what worked for you 5 years ago may not work for you today, may not work for you 5 years from now. Be flexible, be creative. Find something that works for you so that you can have your time with Krishna. I mean, he wants to have time with each of us. And do things that are spiritually enlivening for you. And we talked about this with avoiding bad habits. But Prabhupada says in Nectar Devotion, we should engage in the processes according to our personal taste. So there's a minimum 16 rounds, that everyone should do. But do spiritual things that you love. Read the books that you find enlivening. Do things that give you, again, this taste. And then guess what? You'll do them. If you're enjoying them, if you're relishing them, you will do them. Okay, now to summarize. So, in order to see everything as spiritual, we dedicate everything to Krishna at every moment instead of being fruitive. We see Krishna in the material energy, and we remember his name, form, qualities, and pastimes. In order to avoid neglect of our material side of our life, thinking it is material, we see, wait a minute, everything belongs to Krishna. He's my company president. Take care of everything as a service and doing the details with great attention. To avoid sinful or distracting things, to have a higher taste, associate with devotees, do things you enjoy in Krishna's service, have spiritual recreation, make some excuse if you have to, and have occupations that don't involve sin. And for organizing, work 8 hours at most, put Krishna first, Be creative and find solutions that work for you. And then one can have a map in one's life. Here we see examples of two great Grahastha devotees, Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Srila Prabhupada. We have a map as to how we can balance our material and spiritual life. So thank you very much. We have the lights on. We have any questions, comments, additions, subtractions, corrections? Do we have time for questions? Yes.
The basic thing is cleansing of pride is very essential.
For sure.
And
that was why that's our first area.
Yeah, unless the mind is cleansed, this cannot work. The main thing is how to do that in practical life, day-to-day life.
Mm. So that was our first area, right? Was transforming our consciousness. That's why we did that first. So how are we going to cleanse the mind? Well, of course, our main means of cleansing the mind is Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. And how? How are we going to chant? So
you can chant just with the mouth. I mean, that's better than nothing, right?
Or you can chant totally. Rupa Goswami in giving the definition of bhakti. Anybody who know Rupa Goswami's definition of bhakti? Do you know the Sanskrit? Anyabhilasita sunyam. Anybody know? Say with me. Jnana karma anavritam. Anupulena krishna anushilanam bhakti rutam. So anushilanam means activities on two levels, right? Body and the mind. And mind is thinking, feeling, willing. Thinking, feeling, willing. Feeling is emotion. So we can try this right now. So I'd like you all to remember a time. I should go back to a time when you really wanted to love Krishna. You really wanted to, you felt inspired. You're thinking, yes, I really want to love Krishna. And see if you can get that feeling. And if you never had a time like that, go back to a time when you were detached from material life, when you thought, oh, this material life, it's just foolish, waste of time, useless, and hold that feeling of detachment. And if you never felt either a desire to love Krishna or some detachment, then go to a time when you were at least curious and you thought, I wonder what's going on in this world, and hold that feeling. They got that? The feeling of I really want Krishna or some detachment or some curiosity. Everybody have that? Yes?
Yes.
Okay. Now holding that feeling, chant the mantra just with the mind. We're going to chant together three times silently, just chanting in the mind. And you can try screaming the mantra in your mind. So don't say anything, just chant in the mind. Three times now. Okay, now holding that thought, that feeling in the heart, and continuing to chant in the mind, we're also going to add now chanting with the voice three times. So all three is going to be voice, thoughts, and feelings. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. You chant like that, you'll clean your mind. No problem. And what we were talking about in the beginning, see Krishna in the sun, see Krishna in the moon, see Krishna in the wind, see Krishna in the heat in your own body, see Krishna in your own ability. And then the mind will become cleansed. Our process is not so much pulling the weeds out of the garden. you know, it's hard work. You have to break your back. Maybe you'll miss some of the weeds. Our process is to flood the garden with Krishna's name and thoughts of Krishna, and all the weeds will die. If one chants with attention, and everything, all service, as Prabhupada wrote this letter to Jagannatha Swami, whatever you're doing, you do it with great attention and offer it to Krishna, then all of your problems will be solved. Your consciousness will become clear. And then all of these things will be very easy to do. Now, if you can only work with attention 1 minute a day, good, celebrate that minute. And the next day, try for a minute and a half. If you can only be focused on Krishna for 10 minutes, celebrate. When you go to bed at night, think, how many minutes of the day was I focused on Krishna? 2 minutes? 10 minutes? Half an hour? Celebrate. Yes, I actually was focused on Krishna for 10 minutes today. Try to do a little more. Because everything is Krishna. Krishna is everywhere. And then we will see things as they are. Otherwise we see, oh, this is matter, this is spirit, this is my friend, this is my enemy, this is it. We don't see reality. Maya is within the mind. So instead of just thinking, how much did I get done today? Which, believe me, nobody's going to care about in 20 years. Seriously. I mean, get things done, but that's not, really, it's not work. It just isn't. How much was I focusing my consciousness on Krishna and what I was doing? That will clean your mind. Nothing else. Nothing else. But we'll do that. Whatever else is there is supportive for that. Yes, that is the one regulative principle. Everyone knows this. Two? What is the main principle? Two? No, come on. Main principle is? Rupa Goswami? Nectar devotion? Yes, always remember Krishna and never forget. Do that. Everything else is a servant of that. Is that alright? Then you'll clean the mirror and you'll see, that's how I have. That's what I have to do. That's how I have to do it. Everything will become crystal clear. Anybody else? Yes.
Madalini suffered from graveyard effect. Like we are listening to the class, we realize. But when we are in the outside, we forget to anything.
Mm. So pick one thing to work on each day or each week. Take one thing from this class that you like. Two or three. So I've given you so many things. How many things did I give you? 15, 20? Take some of them that you like. Pick one. Focus on that. And when you have that down, then pick another one. Focus on that. Thorough? Why don't we all do that right now? Everybody here, if you want to, you can do it what you like. But if you'd like to, pick one of the things I said. And right now, think of which one do I want to pick? Finding a Krishna conscious hobby, finding Krishna conscious recreation, seeing Krishna the material energy, focusing on Krishna's name throughout the day, seeing Krishna as my company president, changing my occupation, changing my priorities, getting creative work. Pick one of them right now. Think of one of them. Which one would I like to do? Which would really help me in my life? I'm going to pick that one. Okay. Then think of a time of day that you're going to evaluate that. Another thing you can do is what Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about in Bhakti Loka in the Niyamagraha section, where he says you can take a vow for 3 days. He talks about, I think, 3 days and 1 month and 3 months. So I adjusted a little. I like to say 3 days and 1 week and 2 weeks and 1 month and 3 months. So you can take a vow for the next 3 days. I am going to meditate on how Krishna is in my environment. or for the next 3 days, I'm going to make sure that I really have quality job and time as my priority. Something, whatever, whichever one of these things. And then at the end of the 3 days, and tell Krishna you're going to do that, not just yourself. Say, Krishna, for next, I'm going to do this. At the end of 3 days, look at it and say, how did it go? How did I do? Did that work for me? Did I like it? Oh, no, I didn't like doing that. Okay, pick something else. Or, yeah, I really liked it. Or, I sort of liked it, but this problem, evaluate it. And then decide, okay, what would I like to do? Maybe do something different for 3 days. And if you like it and it works, say, okay, I'll try it for a week. At the end of the week, take a look at that. How's it going? And if you like it, try it for another 2 weeks. If you like that, try it for a month. If you like it, do it for 3 months. Then you can do it for another 3 months. After all, become part of you. That works very well. So celebrate, try little things and celebrate them. Like a child learning to walk. We've all seen a child learning to walk, yes? Everyone here either has a child or a little brother or sister or a nephew or a niece or somebody, right? Somebody. So how does a child learn to walk? They celebrate little things. The child, when they just stand up, they get excited, right? One step, they get excited. It's not that they immediately start running across the room. Is that all right? One, just pick one thing. If you can pick 2-3 things, that's fine. But pick something, I'm going to focus on this. And then once that's solid, then pick something else. And if you try something and it doesn't work for you, then do something else. Say, okay, I'm not ready for this. It's not... Many years ago, I tried to do something, and it was too hard for me. I couldn't do it. I said, I'm not ready for it. And then a few years later, I tried it again. Oh, now I can do it. That may be there. Some other question? Can we take one more? It's going to be late. Any others?
No? Like Mataji, the three names of the mantra you have explained here, in the mind and in the voice. Same thing.
Heart also. Well, it's actually, we do Anushilanam with body, speech, and mind. And mind has three subcategories, thinking, feeling, willing. So whatever service we do, we want to do with our mind, our voice, if applicable, and our mind. And mind means our thoughts, our emotions, and our will. So all service should be done on those levels.
So the thing is, I'm just requesting, can we have an elaborated japa workshop on that subject?
Yes, but I think we already planned other things, but we could. That is one of my seminars, yes. Reversing the creation through sound. Actually, it's Bhakti Vigyan Maharaj's seminar, and he kindly allows me to teach it. Okay, thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.